Now, you'll notice in your bulletins there is an insert. And in the insert in your bulletins is the scripture reading on one side and an outline of this morning's message on the other side. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And if you have a different version of the Bible, you can look at the scripture reading on your outlines to follow along. A second reason I've put the outline in the bulletin and the scripture reading is so that you can mark down notes and comments as you look at the text together. We remember that the Psalms are poetry written by the Spirit of God. And in that poetry, the poetic structures, we see the Lord's Word and revelation to us. So let us begin today with the reading of Scripture from Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's the reading of God's Word from Psalm 121. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, Psalm 121 is one of the most beloved and memorized psalms in all the Scriptures. To many, it is known as the traveling psalm. There are people who will tell you that when their family were ready to go on a trip or a vacation, or perhaps moving to a different location, or even sending their kids off to college, their parents would gather together and read the family as a family unit, Psalm 121, before their departure. And truly, this psalm does speak of God's protection for His people as they journey through life. But if Psalm 21 is seen only as a traveling psalm, then you have not understood its whole truth. For while it's true the psalm speaks of the traveler in this psalm is going to a specific place. He's not just going off on a trip to visit grandpa and grandma, or off on a vacation, traveling somewhere far away, or sending the kids away from home for the first time. The traveler of Psalm 121 is headed to the house of God. The Old Testament context was the temple at Jerusalem, God's Old Testament house on this earth. But for the New Testament believer, the traveler of Psalm 121 is headed towards heaven, towards his Father's house. As we begin our understanding of this psalm, we have to recognize its historical background. You notice it is described as a psalm or a song of ascents. The first thing that you notice about that title is the fact that there are many psalms of ascents. There are 15 total in the Scriptures, Psalms 120 to 134, all of them titled as psalms of ascents. Some of the psalms of ascents were written by King David, some by King Solomon, and the one before us, 121, has not given us an author as who wrote it. But the word ascents means to go up. That means the psalm was often used by the people of God as they traveled toward the city of Jerusalem to worship at the temple of the Lord. And during the time of King David and Solomon, the psalms of ascents were often used as part of the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts, such as the Feast of Passover or Tabernacles. And yet some of the Psalms of Ascents were composed later, and sung by the exiles as they were traveling back from the land of Babylon, where they had been brought into captivity, back to the promised land of Jerusalem, where they re-established again the temple and the worship of God. Whatever time period the psalm of ascends, in both cases the psalms were used for people, the people of God, as they journeyed toward Jerusalem. While the end of their pilgrimage was in mind, the end being the city of God and Jerusalem, the place of the worship of God. That's the destination of the traveler. He's going on a trip, and there may be danger on the trip and the journey by which he goes. And he's not just going on a trip for a vacation or to see a relative, but the destination of the traveler is the house of God. Now, as we look at the psalm as a whole, we have to recognize that there is a key theme to the psalm. And the key theme of Psalm 121 is, the Lord is your keeper. Now, how do we know and understand what the key theme of a psalm is? Well, there are two particular key themes in this psalm that help us see by way of structure. One way that we can understand the key theme is to look at the words that are frequently repeated throughout the psalm. I invite you at this point to look at the psalm itself, and if you have a pen or a pencil, to even mark down some of the words that are repeated. The first word that you see repeated is repeated five times, and it is the word, or the words, the Lord. The Lord is capitalized throughout the psalm. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Again, verse 5, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. Verse 8, the Lord will keep. You see, five times the Lord is mentioned in the psalm, a key point to help us understand the theme of the psalm. A second key word that is repeated throughout the psalm, this time six times, is the word keep or keeper. You see it in the second line of verse 3. He who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel. You see it in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Again, verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. And verse 8, the Lord will keep. Throughout the psalm, the Lord and keep are connected together. Two key themes. The Lord is your keeper. One other important structure point to help you understand the key phrase of the psalm is to recognize the number of lines in the psalm, first from the beginning to the middle, and then from the end to the middle. If you count down the lines from verse 1, you will count down 8 particular lines to the beginning of verse 5. If you start at the end of the psalm and you count up, you will count 8 lines until the middle, the first line of verse 5. And what's the first line of verse 5 tell us? The Lord is your keeper. So not only do we have the Lord's name repeated frequently, 5 times in the psalm, not only do we have the word keep or keeper repeated 6 times in the psalm, the structure of the psalm centers on the first line of verse 5. And what does it say? What does the psalmist write? The Lord is your keeper. The Lord keeps his people. And that's the key theme of the psalm. A second structural thing that helps us understand Psalm 121 is the particular flow of the psalm. And again, as you look at the words, you can see that this psalm has a particular flow. Again, as we look at repeated vocabulary, you see in verse 2 the word comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where does help come from? It comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavenly realms and the creator of the earth. As you go to verse 8, again you see the word come, this time coming. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You see, as the psalmist writes of the coming, my help comes from the Lord. It's help that he knows comes from the Lord who is in heaven. And he is acknowledging that the Lord is the creator. He made the heavenly realms. He made the earthly realms. And then what does he repeat then in verse 8? The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. What are you going out from? You are going out from the earthly realm. You are, as a believer, coming into the eternal realm. Notice how it is repeated in the very last line. From this time forth, that's where you are now, in earth, on earth, and forevermore, the heavenly realm. You see, the first flow signaled by the coming is a flow that starts on earth from God the Creator, who flows and brings you into heaven, the heavenly realm. More about that later in the sermon. A second key flow of the psalm that you can recognize is the flow of the psalm itself. It starts out in the first two verses in the first person. Look what it tells us. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He uses the first person, I and my, identifying himself in terms of the psalm and its message. But the rest of the psalm moves to the second person. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And he goes on throughout the rest of the psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. It starts in the first person, and it moves to the second person, to the you. Again, a flow, a movement to the psalm, which we'll come back to later in the sermon. The third movement that you see in this particular psalm is a move now from present to future. If you look at the first two verses, the psalmist is writing in the present. In the present, he lifts his eyes to the hills. In the present, he looks to the Lord for help. But then in verses 3 and 4, he moves to the future. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verses 5 and 6, again, the psalmist is writing in the present. The Lord is your keeper now. The Lord is the shade on your right hand now. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night now. But in the last two verses of the psalm, he moves to the future. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your coming out, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The pattern of the psalm in the verses, as they're divided out for you, is present, future, present, future. In Hebrew poetry, we describe that like a stair-step journey. The steps are being taken. The author goes from the present, he steps up to the future. He goes back to the present, he steps up even more to the future. A stair-step flow of the psalm from the present to the future. Remember what we said about the flow of the psalms of ascents. The psalmist is starting a journey in the present, and the psalmist ends that journey in the future. It starts on earth, and a journey that ends in heaven forever. That's why the last line of the psalm reads, "From this time forth and forevermore." You see, Psalm 121 has a particular flow. It's looking at life, a journey that begins on earth as God has created you, and it ends in heaven where God ultimately brings you. That's the flow and the message of the psalm. And so now that we have established the key theme of the psalm, the Lord is your keeper, now that we've established that there is a flow to the psalm from earth unto heaven, we look more carefully at the message of Psalm 121. First of all, we recognize through all the structure and the poetry that God the Creator is your helper. The psalm begins in verse 1 with a question. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" The psalmist begins with the fact that he is lifting his eyes up to the hills. Some people, as they've thought about what that verse means, somehow thinks that he is asking this question as if there is some sort of mysterious help in the hills. But we live in the Northwest, and we are surrounded by mountains and volcanoes, whether it be the Olympic Mountains or the Cascade Mountains or Mount Baker or Mount Rainier. And as we drive around during the day and we look over to the sky, we're always looking to see if we can see the mountain or one of the mountains sticking out above the clouds. You can't help it when you live in a mountainous region that the mountains cause you to look up. You see, the psalmist writes, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" Because as he looks to the hills, it causes him and it causes us to look up. And when we look up to the hills, the psalmist says, or at least when he looks up to the hills, where does his help come from? Notice verse 2. "My help comes from the Lord." You see how he answers his own question. And he repeats the word help at the end of verse 1 and brings it right back into verse 2. So you know the answer to his question. "My help is from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." The psalmist is acknowledging that he looks to God for help. He recognizes that the help he needs in his life comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. The Lord has made the mountains and the hills. That is where his help comes from. God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is his help. And what does that then mean for his present life in this world? Remember what we said. He starts out in the first person, the I, the my. Where does it come from? He starts out in the present tense. His present life on earth. And in his present life on earth, he looks to the Lord for help. What does it then mean for the future? "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." You see, the key question that is often asked about who is the psalmist in Psalm 121 talking to? In the first verses, he speaks about himself. But in the second set of verses, he is speaking to you. What does that mean? The key word in verses 3 and 4 is found at the end of the first line of verse 4. "Behold, he who keeps Israel." You see, he uses the second person. He moves from the first person himself. Where does help come from? To the second person in verses 3 and 4. And then he adds the particular second person he has in mind. It's the plural. It's Israel. It's the people of God. Do you see why the psalmist has moved from I to you? The psalmist is no longer just speaking about himself. The confidence he has that God is his helper is not based on the fact that there's something about him that God is helping him. It's the fact that he is one of God's people. God helps his people. He knows that is true. It's not about just himself or his own life. It's the fact that he belongs to the Lord, that he is in a relationship with the Lord, and he knows that the Lord always helps his people. He has moved from the I in the first person to the second person because he identifies himself and his hope for the help of God in the fact that he is one of God's people. The people of Israel is what the psalmist identifies there at the end of verse 4. And what does he know then? For the future, if you are one of God's people, look how he describes it in verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, when he uses the image of a foot, it means that on the journey, wherever he goes, he knows that the Lord will not let his foot be moved. God protects his people, his covenant people. When you are in a relationship with the Lord, he will not let your foot be moved in terms of the journey that you are on in this life, a journey that ends in heaven itself. And notice what he said in this verse, in verse 3. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither, there it comes again, slumber nor sleep. The word slumber used twice. He's adding more to it at the end of verse 4. God will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, that is how it is when you belong to the Lord. That as you are on your journey, as you go through life and the struggles that you come upon in your life, you must know that God does not let your foot slip. You're one of his people. You belong to him. And there's going to be times when you're going to ask yourself, why does it seem like the Lord isn't answering my prayer? Is the Lord slumbering in heaven, not paying attention right now? Is the Lord sleeping in heaven, not paying attention right now, not answering my prayer? The psalmist says, no, no, no. If you belong to the Lord will not let your foot slip. And the Lord who keeps you doesn't slumber for a while and let you fall away. And then he remembers you and comes back to you. You do not have to go to the Lord and somehow get his attention. We saw in the Old Testament, in the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, as the people who worshipped Baal were calling for Baal to bring down fire and burn up the altar, and Elijah stood there and was mocking them. And he was saying about Baal, where is Baal? Is he sleeping? Is he not paying attention? And the people are cutting themselves with knives. And they're dancing around trying to get Baal to respond because he's not responding. Maybe he's sleeping or not paying attention. And the psalmist in Psalm 21 is saying, that is not how it is with God. He does not let the foot of his people slip. God isn't in heaven slumbering and sleeping and not keeping you and paying attention to you. The psalmist is saying that on the journey of life from earth to heaven, your foot will not be moved, and the Lord who keeps you, the Lord who keeps his covenant people, he does not slumber nor sleep. So when it comes to the present and the call for help, you can take confidence in the future that the Lord keeps you. The Lord will not let your foot slip in your journey towards heaven. And he does not slumber or sleep as you live and go through life. And so in the next verses 5 and 6, He describes the fact about what it means that the Lord is your keeper in the present. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the right hand, when it is described as the right hand, it is the hand of strength. I know some folks are left-handed, but that doesn't have anything to do whether you're right-handed or left-handed. Most people are right-handed, and for most people, the right hand, as the Lord writes in this psalm, is the hand of strength. The Lord is your shade. He is your protection. He is your hand of strength as your keeper. Well, notice how he describes it then in verse 6 in the present. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. As the Old Testament people journeyed through the land, they were often left out in the wilderness, totally exposed. It was not a region where there were a lot of trees, where there was a lot of shelter. During the day, they bared under the heat of the intense sun. At night, they laid out exposed in the middle and exposed to all kinds of danger. The psalmist describes the Lord as your keeper, the Lord as the shade on your right hand, your protection, all during the day. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You see, you are exposed in this world, exposed in this life. No protection that you can create for yourself that will protect you from all harm or from evil. But the Lord is the shade at your right hand. The Lord is your keeper in the present. You can take confidence that each and every day and throughout all the day and throughout all the night, the Lord is your keeper. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He doesn't stop keeping you. He doesn't stop protecting you. He doesn't stop being the shade at your right hand. If you are one of His people, if you are of Israel, one of His covenant people who belongs to God, who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is your keeper. And you can take confidence that throughout the day, the sun will not strike you, nor the moon at night. You in the present know the Lord as your keeper, your protector. Well, that brings us then to the fourth section of the psalm and the last point of the psalmist. That is that the Lord will keep you forever. In the last two verses of the psalm, we move again to the future. Remember the stair-step journey, the present verses 1 and 2, the future verses 3 and 4, the present verses 5 and 6, and now the last two lines again are the future. Only now the psalmist brings us into the spiritual realm. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. You see how more intense the psalmist is becoming. He repeats at the beginning of verse 7, the Lord's name. He repeats at the beginning of verse 8, the Lord's name. He repeats the word keep in the first line of verse 7, again in the second line of verse 7, again in the first line of verse 8. The repeated vocabulary has intensified at the end of the psalm. The Lord's name used at the beginning of each verse, and the word keep used three times in three lines of the psalm in a row. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, the English Standard Version, of which you have before you, translates the last word of verse 7 in a way that reflects how people have used this psalm. Remember how I mentioned at the beginning of the psalm that so often this is a psalm that is read as people are headed out on a journey. They're headed out on a vacation. They're headed out to visit grandpa and grandma somewhere else. Perhaps they're headed out on a trip or moving somewhere far away. And so they have translated that word, life. But in many other versions of the scripture, they have correctly translated the word, soul. The Lord will keep you from all evil. What is the Lord a keeper of you from? He keeps you from evil. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. You see, the fact that the Lord is your keeper is that He is your keeper unto eternal life. The biggest factor on your journey to Jerusalem, to your Father's house, the Lord keeping you from all evil, from doing evil things on this earth, from the evil which seeks to attack the Lord and to bring harm to the people of God. And knowing that as you face evil and sin and temptation in this world, God is keeping over your soul. Do you see why the vocabulary at the end of this psalm is intensifying? Why all the repeated words are repeated so frequently at the very end? The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your soul. And now verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Well, what are you going out from? Again, is it a journey to grandpa and grandma's house? A journey to a vacation spot far away? You're going out. Remember the stair-step flow of the psalm. It starts on earth. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And it goes unto forever. From this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will keep, verse 8, your going out of the present realm to your coming in to the future forever realm. It's underscored by the last line of the psalm, the last line of verse 8. From this time forth, that's the present and forevermore. You see, the Lord will keep your going out of this present earthly realm in which you live, and He will bring you into that eternal forever realm of eternal life, your Father's house. You see, the psalmist of 121 is writing the psalm for the pilgrims of the Old Testament as they are headed to the Old Testament house of the Lord in Jerusalem. But the psalm for the New Testament believer is a psalm that is written for you to know that as you live your life here on this earth, as the Lord is your keeper, He will be the shade on your right hand. You will face no harm during the day or at night. The Lord does not slumber nor sleep. He will answer your prayers. He will direct your life. He will keep you from your going out of this present earthly realm to your coming in to the forever realm of eternal life. And how is it that you have become one of His covenant people? Because God has sent His temple from heaven. The Creator of heaven and earth has sent down from heaven. Where does my help come? It comes from the Lord who sent His Son Jesus Christ down to earth to die on the cross and to pay for the sins of His people once for all. There will no longer be a need for an Old Testament Jerusalem or an Old Testament temple because help from heaven in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come. And because He has made you right with God, and you are one of His people, He is your keeper. He has brought you into relationship with Him. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep over your soul. In Christ Jesus, He will keep your going out of this present earthly realm into your coming into the forever realm of eternal life in your Father's home in heaven. The Lord keeps your going out of the present to the future. The Lord protects you in the spiritual realm from this time forth and forevermore. No matter where you're traveling on this earth, the Lord takes you. There is nowhere apart from His love, from His keeping. The whole truth of this psalm is that He is with you not only on your earthly journey, but your spiritual journey from earth to heaven. Going out of the physical to the spiritual of eternity, the physical body, participating in the spiritual realm, He brings you there forevermore, from this time forth and forevermore. In John 14, the Lord tells His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled, for in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I am the way, the truth, and the life. For your going out of the present realm into the eternal realm forevermore." Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this psalm, the beautiful poetic structure, and the message the psalm brings before us. For Lord, we all are on this journey, a journey in this world toward our heavenly home. We're thankful that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, has come, that He has saved us from our sins, so that we have become one of God's covenant people. And as one of those covenant people, Lord, we know that You are our keeper. You are the Creator of heaven and earth. Help has come from heaven in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that no matter what takes place or happens to us in this world, You do not let our foot slip. You do not slumber nor sleep. You keep us as the shade at our right hand all day and all night. And Lord, we rejoice that not only in this present realm do we know that You are our helper, but Lord, You keep us from all evil. You keep our soul. You bring us from this present realm into eternity. And Lord, as we go through this life, as we face struggles, as Lord, we face whatever challenge or journey You have put behind us, upon our lives, may we take confidence not in ourselves, but may we always know that our help only comes from You, because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our keeper. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.